She was officially a college student, and we haven't been able to do this yet, but we left the stupid bell on the wall for this occasion. Would you like to ring the bell? We're going to ring the bell. Bang, nabbit, we're ringing the bell. Woo! All right, there it is. So forgive us if that's a little crazy, but that's exciting, though. So, hey, we have been doing all things to the glory of God, and we are going to continue on with that. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dig in. Father God, we thank you for just the excitement of being able to see others come to know you. Lord, the angels in heaven rejoice when that happens. And Lord, it is what this is all about. You have sent your Son here to redeem us. And Lord, we are doing our best through your Spirit to live in the way that you designed us. But at the same time, Father, let us not lose sight of those that do not know you. Help us to be able to love them, to build trust with them, the curiosity. Help us to come to a place where we can present the gospel to them in a way that is clear and effective. And so, Lord, we give it all to you and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we've been talking about all things to the glory of God and been covering a couple different areas, we've talked about family, we talked about friends, we've talked about money, and we've hit some of these major areas in our life that I believe are essential to how we handle them and the way that we look at them, and the fact that these things in themselves and how we take care of them do either bring glory to God or they become traps to us. And so we've been working through that, and today, being it's Mother's Day, we're going to look at another aspect of this whole thing of bringing glory to us, but a good mother knows basically what I'm going to present to you guys today, and that is the fact that you yourself are special, you are unique, that God has created you in a way that is specifically for his glory. That we often have talked about these big subjects, but today we're talking about you. And we're going to focus in on the uniqueness and the specialness of who you are. So if you look over here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we get this verse that I love reading to you guys because I think these verses are so cool. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Your true and proper worship. Worship is, according to definition, the feeling and the expression of reverence and admiration. Do you spend any time just thinking about who God is and what God's done for you? Being able to concentrate. We just did a worship song up here. Oh, how he loves us. And I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times in worship songs, I can kind of put aside all the other things of the day and begin to focus. And the more that I am able to focus, especially in worship songs that are about who God is and what God has done, it helps put me in a place where I begin to really think and concentrate about who he is, that moves me inside. And it's supposed to bring me to a place where my heart and my mind and my spirit align with where God is at. See, I think a lot of times in this world, what happens is we get going so fast and we can be doing good things, but we get so busy that we don't spend any time actually just thinking and meditating about who God is and the glory of God and the fact that he loves you. See, when we come to a place of realizing how much he cares for us, when we come to a place of realizing what he's done for us, when we come to a place of realizing the incredible majesty of God, the fact that he created the universe, that he spoke the stars into existence, and that he knows you, and he cares for you, there's something that begins to change inside of us. I know often when I get stressed out or if I get anxious about something, something's gone wrong, it's really easy for me to jump in and go, you know, you get that attitude where I got to work this out. What's the problem? And it doesn't change until I stop and go, okay, let me focus back on God. And when I stop and I focus back on God, when I actually change my attitude about my problems and actually go to God and go, God, I want to lay this before you. I want to put this at the cross. And I want to remember who you are and the fact that you got me. The fact that you say you work all things out for the good. The fact that you say that that you have me in your hand and you will never lose me. The fact that you say that you love me and nothing can separate me from your love. When I begin to think about those things and concentrate on those things, it's crazy how all of a sudden a lot of these problems, a lot of these issues, even my heart and even the anxiety and the struggle inside begins to melt and change. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd much rather live on that plane than on the plane where I'm just tore up inside. When we get so tore up and so full of, ugh. And like I say, you can be tore up about things that are important, quote unquote. We think they're important. You know? We had a little thing this last week that happened, and we're going around, and it was a simple mistake, and it was a good thing I didn't make it. But it was a simple mistake, and it kind of brought a little stress to me and Sasha. And we were like, oh my gosh, okay, what are we going to do with this? And I was frustrated. It's like, oh. And as I spent time thinking about who God was, and it's like, how would you want me to handle this? Who are you in the midst of this? There became a peace over the whole situation. And not only a peace over the situation, I felt like in my spirit, he began to whisper into my head. It's like, don't you think I know? He says, I could have stopped you from doing something silly. But I didn't, because I don't want you to trust in yourself. I want you to trust in me. It's like, ooh, you're right. Because even in handling those situations in the past, I take a little bit of pride that I'm pretty good at it. And maybe I shouldn't, because it's his ability that he gives me that. It's his strength. It's his wisdom. I don't have anything that he hasn't given me. It's not my power. So when I stop and I begin to think about who he is, he helps me to refocus, to come to that place of actual admiration and reverence in my life. But what's crazy about these verses is it's talking about not just the time, not just this moment of being able to worship, not just this instance and where I align myself with God, but he's talking about the way I live. He's talking about my actions, my day-to-day, the things that I'm doing. And it's no coincidence that he is starting this off, this idea, hey, the way you live your life is an act of worship, is literally an introduction to the rest of this chapter. So I want you guys to skip down here to verse 3 with me. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Isn't it crazy that he talks about, hey, the way that you live your life is a worship to God. Oh, and by the way, you are the body of Christ. And you're unique. My thumb is not my eye. It is a different member of my body. My thumb cannot do what my eye does. My eye does something totally different than my thumb does, which does something totally different than my foot does. But for some reason, we all think that if we're part of the Christ or part of the body and part of Christ, that somehow or another, we're supposed to actually do the same thing. or somehow or another I'm supposed to compare myself with somebody else that does something, which is ridiculous. How's my thumb supposed to compare itself with my eye? I mean, the reality is you are unique. That's why I say moms already know this. When you're born, they know you are special and you are unique. God has created you in a way that is for His glory. Don't compare yourself and don't worry about what somebody else is doing. The reality is it is your responsibility where you fall to realize that you have a responsibility. You were created for a purpose. He's designed you and He's put you in this body. And if you don't work in the midst of this body, the whole body suffers. And the things that He's given you, the gifts that He's given you, the talents that He's given you, He wants you to use it as God would want you to use it. To step forward and use it with all your might in a way that would bring others to a place of recognizing the goodness of who God is. See, when we think about it, we begin to realize you have a unique background, you have a unique personality, you have a unique skill set, you have a unique way of looking at life, and somehow or another, God has placed you where you needed to be at this time in order to make an impact for His kingdom. Whether you live for that or not depends on whether you are living for His glory or for your glory. I can say, when we stop and we think about admiration and worship, when we think about the place of bringing ourselves to a point where we just bask in the glory of God and His majesty and the weight of who He is, when we think about those things, it changes our hearts and our perspective. But what if we allowed that to actually sink into every aspect of who we are? That the things that we do are actually for His glory. Our work, our life, our words, our actions, our motivation. See, when we get caught up in the surroundings of the things around us, the problems that happen, that's where anxiety comes from. That's where we get in this place where we're like tore apart and we don't know how to respond. And sometimes we don't respond very well. We can respond in anger, we can respond in frustration, or we can respond in an unloving way towards others who are in their best are trying to be loving to us. And we get there because our eyes are focused on us and not on Him. When we turn it around and we begin to focus on Him, He helps us to begin to see, hey, there's a different way to respond, to be able to act, to be able to work, to be able to serve others in the power that God would give us is the way we're supposed to live our life. When we look at these verses, though, it starts off with, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Some of us can think of people that think of themselves pretty highly. I mean, there are those individuals. What's really kind of crazy about that, though, to me, is it seems like when you dig into those individuals that think pretty highly of themselves, it's usually to cover up insecurity. It's usually to cover up something else that's going on inside of them. I think, actually, the problem that most of us deal with is we don't think very highly of ourselves at all. We actually think pretty lowly of ourselves. So I want you to think about these verses here in Jeremiah chapter 1. I love these verses. When I was a kid, I read these verses and they sunk deep in my heart. And it became my life verse when I was young. Where it's like, no, this is the way I feel and I need to hold on to these things. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. those verses meant a lot to me as I was younger, and the reality that I felt like I was called into ministry, and as I began to follow that and that leading into my life, these things came back time and again, because to be honest, there's insecurity in me. And I know that shocks all of you guys, because I'm a very secure person. But the truth of it is I think we all deal with insecurities. We all weigh ourselves against other people, and especially nowadays, man, when you get on the phone and you start looking through, you know, everybody's feed, it's like you can't compare. If you do something, somebody else has done it better. And so there's this place that goes on inside of us that we all just kind of wrestle with, well, am I really succeeding? Am I really good enough? Am I really pretty enough? Am I really talented enough? Can I ever really succeed? And this insecurity begins to wrap up inside of us. And I hope in some ways the point of this message today is for you to realize you are special and unique, and there is nobody like you. And God has created you, and he has put you in this place for this time and for this purpose. That's what the scriptures say. And here's the reality of that. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody. How does the thumb compare itself to the eye? You don't. You are a part of the body. You've been created. You have your own function. And you may look at it and say, well, I do this thing, and there's others that do this kind of thing too, and they're good at it. No, you do that thing in the way that you were created to do that thing. Don't be comparing that. It's different. It is different. And here's the reality. If you look back at this, this is what's so beautiful about these verses. And verse 4 says, I formed you, I knew you, I set you apart, and I appointed you. Close your eyes for a moment. Because I think God would say this to you too. I formed you. I knew you. I set you apart. And I appointed you. Can you accept that? Or is your spirit fighting it? You coming up with the doubts? You coming up with, you don't know what I've done? I'm not capable. I formed you. I knew you. I appointed you, and I set you apart. Man, if you can grasp the reality that God has created you, and he has put you here, and he has given you a specific that brings him glory, it changes your life, changes your perspective, it changes your purpose. Because we run around so often, and the reality is we have all these people that have their fingerprints on us. Your mom, your dad, your siblings, your lack of siblings, your friends, your community, your upbringing, your teachers, your coaches, they've all had these impressions upon your life. Some of them have said some horrible things that should have never been said to you. And for some reason or another, we hold those deep down inside and we begin to build our life off of it. Some of them have said some precious things to you that were true. And you hold on to those because it's like, that was a good moment. And yet the reality is, it's not just the things that people said to you, it's watching them. As you grow and you begin to see different things happen in different people and things that you go, I could do that, or I want to do that. Things that become priorities in your life, and some of them good, some of them bad. All of these things kind of mix up into who you are, and they all have their touch upon you. So God has created you, and he's put you where you're at for his purpose. He knows you, and he formed you. He knew what you were going to go through, and he has something for you to do. So I want you to think about this in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. See, just like you have been formed and shaped by all these other people, these teachers and parents and these coaches and individuals, your friends, people that have left an impact in your life or have inspired you or maybe tore you down, you too are leaving an impact on others. You too are leaving an impact. How you live your life shapes the people around you. You may not think that you have much weight. You may not think you have much importance. But the reality is everybody's watching you. They may not all be thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves. But they are watching. And how you live your life either inspires them or it helps them justify things or it helps them in a plane where it doesn't really help them at all, actually tears them down. Your actions speak loud. And you may think, I'm just doing me. The reality is what's crazy is God knows you. He formed you, he appointed you, and you have an impact on other people, how you live your life. And according to the scriptures here, that can be to God's glory if you use it in his grace. There's various forms of grace. You realize that, man, sometimes people have a hard time accepting the love of the Father when they've never experienced the love of their father. You realize that there's a lot of people that have rejected the church and the Christian message because of the frustration that they have with their parents and that their parents were Christians and yet they were abusive or legalistic. You have an impact on other people. They have an impact on you. See, when we live in certain ways, we either express the love of Christ or we express our own selfishness. And when we claim Jesus as our Lord, when we claim to be believers and that we're following after him, then sometimes your own selfishness comes across as an impact on other people of a negativity of who God really is. You guys hear it all the time about church hurt, which is really silly because the reality of that is it's actually human hurt because it's human behavior. I mean, the reality is if we truly look at what the church is supposed to be, the fact that we love one another, encourage one another, spur one another on towards good deeds, that we put love first, that forgives a multitude of sins, if we actually act like the church, there is no church hurt. The hurt comes when believers act like humans. When we act in our own selfishness, when we make judgment calls about things that we don't have a proper view of where God is at or what he wants. When we follow legalistic laws instead of being able to realize this is about helping individuals to truly come to a place of loving and following Christ. We leave an impact. You may be a thumb, you may be a toe, you may be an eye, it really doesn't matter. But you're part of the body if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you accepted Lord Jesus as your Savior and you're part of the body, you leave an impression of how you live. You can't avoid it. God has gifted you in all sorts of ways. Now, there are spiritual gifts, and I believe in spiritual gifts. And we can sit there and say, okay, here's your gift of mercy. Here's your gift of admiration. Or not admiration, administration. We can put out those gifts. But I think sometimes those are a trap. because we go, okay, this is what this is, and I can put it in my box, and now this is the way it's supposed to work, and I can, here it is, this is when I'm using that, and this is when I'm not using. How about just stopping and thinking, he knows you, and he formed you, he appointed your time, and the reality is your every word, your every action, sometimes it is a word of encouragement, sometimes it's a word from God, sometimes the reality is just your simple actions are mercy. So you express the different graces of God upon our life in all sorts of ways. And there may be an area that you're super strong in. Praise the Lord. That's probably your spiritual gift. But don't get trapped up. This is the only time that you are used. You are used constantly. Everybody has their eye on you. My oldest. It's funny when I say that, because I still think of her running around with those curly, long, blonde little things that she's a little girl going crazy with, her first words always being, uh-oh. Whose child ever has the first words that are, uh-oh? My Hannah. She's being induced tonight. I'm going to be a grandparent really soon. That's pretty cool. I look forward to having my grandson around, being able to do things with him, to hang out, to watch him grow, to watch him experience. I'm pumped. I am excited. This is a changing point in my life. And you know what's so cool about that? As I know in my heart, I know in Sasha's heart, our desire is to live a life that inspires that little boy to live for the glory of God. To be able to let him know he's loved and cared for. To help him to be able to experience life in its fullness. The joy and the pain. To be able to know how to handle things and walk him through that. What a privilege. But here's the crazy thing about it. The person you're sitting right next to, you have that kind of influence also. Friend, family, spouse, it doesn't matter. Age, it doesn't matter. You have an impact on other people. God has created us for that. In many ways, we don't experience God's love until we experience love from somebody else. In many ways, we don't understand what grace is until somebody's given us grace. See, the truth of the matter is God has created us in order for us to truly be his body, to be his hands and feet, to truly actually make an impact on other people. It goes on here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. It's interesting as he writes this, because as he writes this little thing here, this whole thing where he brings it down to this point, this instance of praise. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. He's talking about the gift that he's given us and how we use it. And yet, and Paul, as Paul begins to explain this thing, he says, here it is. This is how it works, guys. Peter. As Peter begins to explain this thing, it moves Peter to a place of being able to say, hey, God has created you unique, and he's created you differently, and he's given you certain gifts, and use those to the best ability, to your strength. Be generous in it. Act as God was moving through you. And to him be the glory. He gets so moved in this, it's to him be the glory forever and ever. Because Peter, think about who Peter is. A goofball. You know, we always think about Peter. Everybody wants to go, oh, I can relate to Peter. Because we see the flaws in Peter when he first meets Christ really easily. And we see the flaws in us. He says things he shouldn't say. He's kind of really gung-ho, and he gets in there, and he wants to do and be the hero of the moment, only to fall on his face and actually have to pull himself out from denying Christ and to say really spiritual things in one moment, you're the rock, to be put in his place later to go, get behind me, Satan. We look at Peter and we go, ooh, I can relate to Peter. And here's Peter, he's looking at us and he's saying, hey, listen, and it's all its various forms, the way that God is created you and the grace that he's given you and the powers that he's given you and the talents that he's given you, use this to the glory of God, because this is how people experience him. And if you would use this in a way that people can experience God in a greater way, so that you do it as God would want you to do it, then the glory goes to him. And how awesome that really is. That's when we become different people. Many of you guys are reading the book right now, getting ready to go to Germany, and reading about the processes of folks that come to Christ and winning trust in them, and there's that section in there about building curiosity in them. I think this is where the church lacks the most, because the church lives like people who says, I'm nobody. And we don't think very highly of ourselves. And so we live like the rest of the world. Instead of being able to go, wait a minute. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to realize that every action, every word, every part of my being, God knew me and he formed me and he appointed me, is going to live in a way and an understanding that it is for his glory. It is my proper act of worship. If we were to do that, there would be a lot of people around us that would go, something's different about you. Something's unique. How come you don't party like everybody else, but yet you have hope and joy? How come when things fall apart, you're able to actually be steady and level? Because there's something about you that you seem to be centered. Why is it that when people treat you bad, you always treat them nice? That you're so generous. That you do all these things. And even when nobody's looking at you, you actually dig into your work with purpose and meaning, because it means something to somebody else. Christ sees you as special and unique. That's what's really cool. He died for mankind, but he died for you specifically, because he wants to redeem us. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not only has he redeemed you, he has appointed you and he has set you apart. He has given you gifts and he wants to empower you. He has not left us as orphans, but he's given us his Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to do it on our own strength, that he wants to actually be there. All we have to do is tap in and keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for our mothers and how much they mean to us and what they've done in our life. And Father, we come before you too, because even in situations where some of our mothers may not have been the best, and there may be hurt there, Lord, you worked out your grace and your goodness in that, and you continue to work it out. We thank you for those that have stood by you and have been a godly example. Father, I thank you in my own life that my mother has been exactly that. And so, Lord, I ask that you would empower me and strengthen me. Not that I would get recognition, but Father, that you would get recognition of your goodness and your glory, that you would power and strengthen each and every one of us to realize that our every action, our every word is an act of worship to you, an act of grace to others, that you would be glorified. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.